Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Ben Crenshaw. He is an instructor at the Declaration of Independence Center, Oxford, Mississippi, that's Ole Miss, as well as a PhD candidate in politics at Hillsdale College in Southern Michigan. We're speaking to a review of a new book that he has posted at Civitas Outlook, part of Civitas Institute at the University of Texas. The review is of Keeping the Republic, a new book from Dennis Hale and Mark Landy. It dives right into what is democracy, what is the republic. You will all recall we're often instructed to say, yes, it's a democracy, but we have a republic if we can keep it. Ben, a very good day to you. Thank you for joining. This is philosophy in the midst of violence around the world, and it's peaceful to talk to you about these matters. You're turning to the fundamentals of the American Constitution. That would be Thomas Hobbes and John Locke and others. However, I come to your summary of what the main thesis of this new book is. I have not read it. You have. The quote that you provide: the Constitution accepted modernity, but at the same time sought to discipline modernity to make it compatible with the Republican government and human nature, end quote. That's from Mr. Hale and Mr. Landy. By what do they mean modernity? Good evening to you, Ben.
Yes. Hi, John. Thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be with you today. Yeah, that's a really good question. What do they mean by modernity? And that is, modernity has, of course, been debated for hundreds of years. Are we postmodern now and so forth? What Hale and Landy mean by modernity is a couple of things. They do talk about the politics of Hobbes and Locke, and you could go back further to Machiavelli. And, you know, the major break there is a focus on human equality and human rights and the expansion of a political community to both include more people, a larger extended sphere, but also to within that kind of political community to include more participation from the people themselves. And you do that by saying that, well, all men have the same, like Hobbes would say, all men have the same interests and passions. This makes them equal. No man, Locke would say, has the right to rule another against his consent. So there's a certain level of equality, whether you're talking about moral equality or equality from passion or interest. And then there's a certain number of human rights. And so we need to set up a kind of participatory a political constitution in which people can, you know, participate, they can vote, they can legislate for their own well-being, they can protect their interests, their rights, their understanding of, you know, what the welfare of the people is, what their happiness is, how they want to live their lives, their particular religion, and so forth. So that's one element of modernity. And Hale and Landy, they also talk about the sheer size and scope of it. And of course, this gets into the American founders, because one of the major elements of, say, Madison's political thought is this notion of the extended sphere, in which he took Montesquieu, Baron de Montesquieu, in his Spirit of the Laws, where Montesquieu had basically argued that all republics, all actual republics, require them to be small in scale, because the larger you get, they simply can't hold together. The forces breaking them apart, faction or disagreement or whatnot, becomes too strong, and it tears apart any kind of homogeneity or commonality that the people might have to keep themselves together. So you have to have a republic where the people are participating and talking to one another and know each other and working together for a common end. That has to be a small city-state. You know, the, Aristotle says that the Greek city-states were about 10,000 people at max. They're small. I mean, Sparta was about that size. Athens was bigger at its height, of course, but Athens turned into a kind of seafaring imperial power with client states and so forth. So what Madison said was actually you can have a large republic, not just a small republic. It can cover hundreds of miles, the entire continental United States, and you do that through representation. So representative assembly as opposed to what their concept of democracy was, a direct democracy or a kind of plebiscitary or a mobocracy in which the people themselves had to show up in order to deliberate. So Hale and Landy go through some of these elements of, well, modernity is defined by, you know, 300 million, 500 million person nation. That's a very modern phenomenon. And then within that, of course, you're going to have a lot of different factions, a lot of different subcultures, even potentially, you know, a polyglot nation, very many different languages, religious pluralism. And can you even talk about this being a coherent people, a single people with a common origin and a common way of life? Can you talk in the modern world about having a one constitution that rules all the people in a way that kind of balances all their interests? And in fact, this is exactly the problem we're facing in America today, is that we can't really make the U.S. Constitution work for everybody because there's too many subcultures. There's multiple peoples in America. They have too many different interests. And the political parties, which are basically non-functional, can no longer serve as a kind of collective action political entities by which they kind of gather up these disparate interests and channel them into a single political vision and action within the federal system. There's just too much variety, too much pluralism. We're kind of like an empire now. So, you know, there's other issues with modernity, but those are some of the most critical things that they hit on. And yes, what they said is that at the founding, you know, 200, almost next year, it'll be 250 years, of course, and we're going to have a big celebration here at Ole Miss. And I know Hillsdale is leading multiple celebrations. But, you know, at the founding, the, you know, the founders were kind of at this crossroad between classical and medieval political thought and the emergence of modern political theory or practice. And so they tried to kind of bridge the gap. And so what do I mean by that? I mean, they believed that humans were limited and they were flawed. And so political institutions had to be limited and they had to have, you know, certain checks and balances and separation of powers. And it, the idea of an independent judiciary was another kind of check on human ambition and power. And yet at the same time, they said, well, we can't erase human ambition. We can't destroy human interests. We can't just, you know, either wish away or reform away human passion. These are parts of what it means to be human beings. Let's channel those. Let's channel ambition within the political structure of the federal government. So that's why you have three co-equal departments, each of them with their own responsibilities, and yet all of them have some participation and some check on the other and are allowed to challenge the other. Or you have this idea of a commercial republic in which we're going to use men's desire for well-being. It doesn't have to be necessarily be negative. It's just desire for prosperity, for a good standard of living, to provide for themselves, to work and produce and be creative. We're going to channel that into, you know, productive capital for everybody to benefit from, as opposed to, you know, a few wealthy people holding all the cards and, you know, taking advantage of or stealing from the masses. So they sought to channel some of the passions and ambitions and ideas of the human being into a political system that would, you know, be salutary on average and for the most part, while at the same time not giving themselves over to some kind of utopian speculations, whether of either a progressive bent or a later Marxist bent or whatnot. So those are some of the elements of modernity that the authors talk about.
The book is Keeping the Republic, Dennis Hale and Mark Landy. I'm speaking to Ben Crenshaw, who reviews it for Civitas Outpost, part of Civitas Outlook, Civitas Institute. Ben is at Old Miss, an instructor in the Declaration of Independence Center. He's also a PhD candidate in politics. And when we come back, we're going to apply ourselves to two aspects of the book that require more explication. What is the legitimacy barrier in a republic, and what is the constitutional grain in a republic?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.